As an Amazon associate, we earn from qualifying purchases. This podcast is supported by its listeners. If you choose to purchase something using links on our website, we may earn a commission. No books were warped, dog-eared, underlined with purple pen, eaten, cursed, cancelled, burned, or otherwise harmed in the making of this podcast. I'm Tom Tolkien, and this is the School Reading List, a podcast that recommends books you'll want your children to read and books you'll wish you'd read as a child. To kick off episode 14 of the School Reading List podcast, let's rip open some book post. And this one's our September Fiction Book of the Month. It's also featured on our Year 6 list. It's a verse story from Otter Barry Books, The Final Year by Matt Goodfellow and Joe Todd Stanton. The end of Year 5 through to the end of primary school is told through fragments of life in this unique and powerful verse story. Nate thinks he's ready for his final year, but that's before his best friend since nursery drifts towards the school bully and his youngest brother falls ill. But his teacher, Mr. Joshua, offers hope by encouraging Nate's creative writing. Accessible, powerful, and highly relatable, Year 6 children will empathise with Nate and the challenges he faces at home, his struggles with bullying at school, and deciphering what really matters between the ages of 10 and 11. Highly recommended. And this one's our non-fiction book of the month for September from Be Small Books. All Bodies Are Wonderful, an inclusive guide for talking about you by Beth Cox, illustrated by Samantha Meredith. Your body is amazing is the central theme of this bright and engaging hardback that includes deep dives into genetics, DNA, discrimination, inclusivity, and what makes each of us unique. Unrelentingly positive, All Bodies Are Wonderful is highly recommended for Key Stage 2 libraries and as an accessible and child-friendly resource for RSE lessons. And this next one from Greystone Kids is our picture book of the month for September. Butterfly Wings, a hopeful story about climate anxiety by Samuel Larochelle and Eve Payton-Noyd. Florent is a sensitive 10-year-old who worries about the future of the planet, his family, and the environment around him. After talking through his fears with his mother, he's able to confront his anxieties. This is a heartfelt paean to children who care deeply about the world they live in. A stunningly illustrated large format hardback verse story, Butterfly Wings is perfect to read, share and discuss with Key Stage 2 classes. Highly recommended for children aged 8+. And this one's an animal story from Gecko Press. A Bird Day by Eva Lindstrom. A day in the family life of a bird is painted with a warm and light-hearted touch in this hardback picture book for preschool children. Emphasising daily routines and how we all get along with each other through the eyes of a bird, this book deftly highlights what makes family life tick. Ooh. And this one's a TV tie-in from HarperCollins Children's, Bing, Sparkle Magic. Today, Sula is looking fabulous, with a magic wand resplendent with super glittery sparkles. Soon, she's making magic all around with a flick of her wrist. But when Bing wants a go with the wand, will Sula be able to share? With immersive detailed pictures and funky typography, the story scenes, the characters, and their dialogue leap from every page. The Odd One Out by Brita Tekentrup, and this one's from Big Picture Press. 2 to 5-year-olds can listen to and read the rhythmic riddle clues and spot which creature is the odd one out. With vibrant and engaging repeating patterns, this clever picture book encourages observation skills, deduction, and visual comprehension. It might also be the next go-to wall display art idea book for EYFS teachers. A cracking picture book, it's now out in paperback. And this one from Templar Books is also featured on our reception list. Mrs. Owl's Forest School by Seb Braun. Mouse, Squirrel, Fox and Rabbit take readers on a journey through the woods in this fun exploration of wildlife and nature, full of practical den-building advice, safety tips, nature projects and imaginative ideas. It's the perfect child-centered picture book to read as part of your EYFS or Key Stage 1 Forest School. A little bit more ripping now. And we have Fodo Dodo Goes Fishing by Edouard Moncot. When Fodo and Noodle decide to play, they both go fishing in the bath, catch an under guppy, and decide to cook it in their play kitchen. But will their plans be thwarted? Fodo Dodo Goes Fishing is a colourful and fun peek into the mind of a child and the power of imaginative play. Packed with clever wordplay and interesting language, Fodo Dodo Goes Fishing is highly recommended for preschool children. River Rescue, a peanut butter and crackers story by Paige Braddock. And this one's a cracking graphic novel that's suitable for Key Stage 1 and Key Stage 2. Exploring the wild world in a camper van doesn't go to plan for Peanut, Butter and Crackers when they get lost and Peanut falls into a river. Can Crackers save the day? This bright, fun and fast-paced comedy adventure is perfect for pet-loving readers who enjoy early graphic novel series such as Dogman or Captain Underpants. Also in the series are Peanut Butter and Crackers Puppy School and Peanut Butter and Crackers Doggy School. Ooh. And this one's from Chicken House for Key Stage 2 readers, Monster Stink by Anna Brooke, illustrated by Owen Lindsay. There's a 60-foot monster, dastardly criminals, and a lingering fart pandemic in this pungent sequel to Monster Bogey. Will Snotland Yard solve the mystery before it's too late? With short chapter titles such as Oozing Lagoon, Schlop, and Special One, and wordplay like Proper Whopper Squidge Pea, there'll be no reluctance to read this epic story that's perfect for Lower Key Stage 2. Her Majesty's League of Remarkable Young Ladies by Alison D. Steggart. When 14-year-old Winnie's father vanishes, she seizes an opportunity to help guard Queen Victoria to get close to the truth and develop much-needed spycraft skills. But will this be enough to save her papa? With an exciting mix of historical adventure, STEM mystery, and powerful female protagonists, Her Majesty's League of Remarkable Young Ladies is highly recommended for reading in years 6 to 8. And finally for this month, Prey Zone, The Serpent's Lair by Wilbur Smith and Keith Chapman. A deadly virus, dangerous poachers and man-made predators in wild South Africa fuel this gripping adventure sequel for secondary age children. Can Ralph and Robin outwit their nemesis? This is a great reading choice for those who enjoy Robert Muchamore, Anthony Horowitz and Mark Walden. Be sure to also check out the first in the Prey Zone series. Thank you to all the publishers and publicists for sending us books to review here on this podcast and on our website schoolreadinglist.co.uk. Here's our rundown of great new children's books hitting the shelves this September. More Peas, Please by Tom McLaughlin. All Bodies Are Wonderful by Beth Cox. Finding Wonder by Lawrence and John. The Final Year by Matt Goodfellow. By the Sea by Judith Homoki. The Shade Trees by Susie Lee. Nickel and Jay Off to India by Chitra Sounder. Ivy Newt and the Time Thief by Derek Keelty and Magda Broll. I Want a Dog by John Agee. Where Can We Go by Di Young. Channel Fear by Lisa Richardson. The 169-story Treehouse by Andy Griffiths and Terry Denton. Prey Zone by Wilbur Smith. Five Little Ghosts by Lily Murray. Ben Rothery's Weird and Wonderful Animals by Ben Rothery. Who Let the Words Out by Joshua Seagal. The Changing Man by Tomi Oyemakindi. Nightshade Revenge by Anthony Horowitz. Evolution by Sarah Darwin. An Atlas of Afterlives by Emily Hawkins. Bonpas Insect Expedition by David Suzuki. You Could Be So Pretty by Holly Bourne. Butterfly Wings by Samuel La Rochelle. Michael Morpurgo's Tales from Shakespeare. Oh My Gods by Maz Evans. Thieves' Gambit by Kavian Lewis. Adia Kalbara and the Circle of Shamans by Izzy Hendricks. Imagine a Garden by Reena Singh. Foxlights by Katja Balin. Scrimsley by Nicola Davies. And our picture book of the month is Butterfly Wings by Samuel La Rochelle. Our non-fiction book of the month is All Bodies Are Wonderful by Beth Cox. And our fiction book of the month is The Final Year by Matt Goodfellow. Bookity book, let's get reading. If you're a teacher, librarian, or avid bookworm who loves children's or YA books, and you'd like to review brand new titles for the school reading list, get in touch by email. We'd love to hear from you. The address is reviews@schoolreadinglist.co.uk. Quiet Reading Time. On Twitter recently, a reading lesson plan did the rounds. There was a picture of it you might have seen. It included timed expectations for things like sitting down, getting books out, and reading with a ruler. Think synchronized reading in a dark, authoritarian, dystopian state full of rules that must not be broken, and you'll get some idea. Great if you want children to think of reading books as a necessary suffering where silence and compliance are not just an aim but a collective duty. No, forget all that. Here are some far more exciting ideas for how to run a reading session, reading period, reading time, or classroom book discussion, or whatever you want to call it. From the get-go, if you want to get all school staff and stakeholders on side, don't use jargon. Jargon intimidates and puts off those who don't understand it. We're all teachers, so use your skills to explain in clear and concise language that can be understood by all of your audience. Try to avoid word salad edu jargon that will confuse your teaching staff. In the depth of the Midlands, I once saw on the timetable async morph stream. And no, it wasn't a Tony Hart plasticine creature in a spot of bother, it was a reading group. Asynchronous morphology stream, apparently. So use words that everyone will understand. Whether it's a teacher, a consultant, a CEO, a teaching assistant, support staff, a parent, a carer, or most importantly, a child. Try not to call reading time drop everything and read, or dear, sustained silent reading, or SSR, or million minutes. Use these terms with parents, and they'll probably think you're getting over familiar, talking about Prozac, or discussing how long it is until the weekend. So call your reading lesson what it is, quiet reading. This isn't a segment about behaviour, save to say that if you want to promote reading for pleasure, then reading must actually be a pleasure. The minute reading becomes part of a silent atmosphere tinged with a frisson of impending chastisement, detentions or consequences, then the opportunity is a lost one. Books need to be fun, not feared. Before planning your reading session, consider what you hope to achieve and how practical and constrained those aims might be, depending on your school and timetable. For example, for me, the aims might be to ensure all pupils are either reading a book they've chosen or using the time to choose a book, or to ensure that every pupil takes home a book, and maybe to ensure every book is appropriate for the child. The constraints, for example, might be time and how seriously the school's SLT consider reading as a timetabled activity. For example, if your reading starts after lunch, will the pupils arrive on time? Will it be impacted by extracurricular clubs? If the timetable says 30 minutes, is it really 30 minutes? Or is it more likely to be 20? Is the time ring-fenced? Or is it up for grabs by other educational activities that children might be pulled out of your lesson for? If you're fighting for the minutes timetabled, it's always going to be difficult to achieve your aims for each session. The school's management must understand that reading time should be protected. Before you start, discuss with the class what these sessions are for and what will happen, what your expectations are, and what a good session will look like. Those children who like structure to build confidence need to know what will happen when. So explain, for example, that Mondays will be independent reading, Wednesdays will be a whole class session, Fridays the teacher will read to the class, etc. Allow the children to make suggestions. Their ideas will surprise you, and each new pupil voice idea will build up a bank for years to come. Finally, agree on what you expect and want to achieve. Try to get this agreed message home to parents as well. Maybe in your newsletter, a video PowerPoint on your class webpage, or a series of bullet points. Most importantly of all, don't be scared to leave the children to read. Sometimes teachers feel nervous if they don't look as if they're doing something, or they're not on their feet, or not intervening somehow. But this is a reading session, where independent reading for pleasure is the ultimate long-term aim. So be prepared to let the children sit and read quietly. If the class finds this difficult, model it by not intervening, but letting them see you reading a book quietly and enjoying it, periodically raising an eyebrow, even chuckling, maybe roaring with laughter every 15 minutes. If you're concerned by a psychotic SLT questioning your approach and uttering phrases like deep dives and mocksteads, have a pre-prepared bullet point list of what your aims are for each reading session, how you will achieve them, and why you believe these activities will work. This will reflect exactly what you've discussed and agreed with the class at the start of the year, so your class will back you up. Allow the reading sessions to become routine, but never boring. For example, consider using quiet reading of books the children have chosen twice a week. Integrate one of these sessions into a library session if you have a school library. Have book discussions once a week, teacher-led reading once a week, and group paired or support reading once a week. How do you deal with the child who cannot choose a book, or the child who can't sit still, or the child who doesn't want to read on their own? Firstly, don't fear or obsess over the child who can't or won't choose a book. Instead, observe what they're doing. More often than not, they are engaging in reading, just not as we know it. Watch them pick up a book, look at it, reject it, and put it back. And pick up another and reject it. Why? Ask them. It was a revelatory moment around 15 years into my teaching career to find out that these serial rejectors of books were in fact reading just as much as the rest of the class. They just weren't reading the story. Ask these children why they didn't choose X and Y, and they'll often tell you, in great detail, referring to the genre, cover, blurb, type, author, age of the book, and other similar books that they don't like. You'll be surprised by how much they've taken in about a book just in the process of rejecting it. It might surprise you to find out that these children often make great classroom librarians. Not everyone is suited to sitting still and reading a book, page after page, on their own, and that's fine. Some children are put off by long texts that have to be read from start to finish. With these students, use books that can be dipped into instead. Books such as Street Beneath My Feet and the What on Earth Wall books, these books fold out to 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5 meters in length along a table or on the floor. 4 or 5 children can get involved, physically moving around the text and still engaging in quiet reading activities. This also suits children who don't like to sit down. Similarly, use your shelves, window ledges and countertops as standing reading areas. Magazines, comics, graphic novels, information catalogues and encyclopedias often work well in these spaces. Use non-fiction texts that don't have to be read in page order. The Britannica books by What on Earth Books are great to dip into. Have a look at Encyclopedia Infographica, which is our non-fiction book of the month for October. It's always worth having a set of choose your own adventure style books. Usborne has a great series of these, which will appeal to today's Upper Key Stage 2 and Lower Key Stage 3, and they're called Usborne Adventure Game Books, and you can find some of them on our Adventure Books page. These can be read individually, but they can also be read in pairs, and because the gameplay involves decision making, both children will be engaged in reading in order to understand the next game decision to make. The importance of reading choice. This is essential to making your reading periods work. Class libraries are important. Try to have as many books as possible with the cover facing outwards rather than the spine. Children always pick these books first. If you need book blocks, instead of culling old library books, wrap them up like a Christmas present with some of that dull sugar paper that every school seems to have reams of, and you'll have an instant free book block. Look for alternative ways of displaying books. Spinning bookshelves are always a hit. At times, the books will literally fly off the shelves, but when they do, the children picking them up will develop an encyclopedic knowledge of your classroom book stock. There's a page of exciting bookshelves in the resources section on our website. Go to the school library at least once a week. It's a different setting, different books, and that's very important for choice. Let the children, with appropriate permissions if you need that sort of thing, to discuss what each other is reading, and what other classes are reading, and what last year's class read, and what the year above is reading now. Children are fascinated by what their siblings are reading and what their parents are reading, and definitely what their teachers are reading. Don't just talk about the worthy books. Talk about the stories that were awful, slightly naughty, gory, gross, hysterically funny, fantastically scary, and most of all, the ones that stuck in your mind for years afterwards. Book tasters are always useful, but book tasters with genuine personal anecdotes are prescription strength reading for pleasure pills. And if you'd like to have a look at the references and further reading to back up evidentially what we've talked about in this podcast, you can find these in the program notes on our website. Here's a selection of exciting new book tasters sent to us by new and self-published children's authors this month.
Hi, my name is Gina Kuhlemans, and I would like to introduce you to my newly released children's book called Luna and Helio, The Eclipse. It is aimed at 3 to 7 year olds and is the fictional tale of Luna the Moon and Helio the Sun and how they create an eclipse by accident. It is a story of friendship and helping each other to do the right thing, even when it isn't easy. One day Luna has to stop Helio making a very big mistake with the help of Earth and the other planets in our solar system. The story is educational but doesn't overload young minds with 1,000 facts. It is the first in a series of Luna and Helio books, and I really hope you enjoy the story. It is available to buy on Amazon, Waterstones, WH Smith Foils and Austin Macaulay Publishers. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Wendy Garvey, author of a children's rhyming picture book called Phone Me When You're Home. A story where chickens drive tractors, foxes ride unicycles, pheasants wear roller skates and squirrels sail through floods in their canoes. I'm available for author visits to libraries, bookshops and venues, and I also offer free workshops for primary schools, Key Stage 1, with the opportunity to purchase a signed copy of my book at the end of the school day. Phone Me When You're Home is fast becoming a favourite with Key Stage 1 teachers for their poetry weeks. My book is available to purchase at www.manystonesbarn.co.uk, Sharp's Pottery Museum in Swadlincote, Derbyshire and Waterstones. You can see events that I will be attending throughout 2023 on my website, along with exciting news regarding my new book due to be published later this year. I hope you will purchase a copy of my book to read time and time again with children, and I look forward to meeting you at an event near you soon where I would be more than happy to sign a dedication inside my book for you. Thank you.
I wish I could talk, then I could ask my best friend Sophie why she keeps leaving me at home all day. I think she's found a new best friend.
Meet Seamus, the Golden Retriever. In the dog novel On My Back Paws by Anna Scoyles, a fun story about friendship, trust and being who you are, not who others want you to be. Teachers, librarians and parents can get a free downloadable resource, a children's activity pack, On My Back Paws themed. Visit bio.link/AnnaS to claim. That's bio.link/ANNAS for Seamus to claim. Check out On My Back Paws by Anna Scoyles today. Available now as an ebook, paperback and audiobook narrated by the author. That's me, On My Back Paws, available to order from bookshops and libraries. Suitable for 7+, also enjoyed by adults. Visit bio.link/AnnaS.
Hi, my name's Alex Brooks, and I am the author of Insects, Bugs and Rock and Roll and Why, Oh, Why Am I a Crocodile, both illustrated by the very talented Hannah Worsley. I'm going to be talking to you today about Why, Oh, Why Am I a Crocodile, which was our first book and shortlisted for the Spark Book Awards. Why, Oh, Why Am I a Crocodile is a beautiful rhyming story with vibrant illustrations, and it's about a crocodile who struggles with low self-esteem. As she walks along admiring beautiful creatures, she has just one question. Why, oh why, am I a crocodile? It's only when she meets a blind monkey who introduces her to some newfound friends, she soon realises things aren't always as they first appear. Why Oh Why Am I a Crocodile is available via main online booksellers and my website www.alexbrooksauthor.com. Thank you.
If you'd like to get in touch and leave a recorded shout-out about your upcoming self-published children's book, have a look at our podcast webpage for more details. And the big new genre list on our website this month is Halloween. And this is a big list. We have over 80 scary, ghostly, mystery Halloween-related titles covering picture books, Key Stage 1, Key Stage 2, and Key Stage 3 and Key Stage 4. There's also a selection of non-fiction books. Let's have a dive into some of these titles now. I Say Boo, You Say Who by John Kane. A wonderfully fun picture book for younger children that's ideal for reading together. With bright colours and clever typography, this story uses a call-and-respond approach to help the reader tell the story. There are lots of ooh sounds, including boo, hoo, and of course, stinky poo, which children will find hilarious. This may well be a book that you read every day for a very long time. Ah. We Planted a Pumpkin by Rob Ramsden. Part of a trilogy of picture books, including I Saw a Bee and We Found a Seed, this story follows the life of a pumpkin from seed to harvesting for Halloween. The illustrations are vibrant and inclusive, and this book is perfect for inspiring Halloween-themed wall displays. Five Little Ghosts, a Lift the Flap Halloween picture book by Lily Murray and Holly Surplice. Five little ghosts have floated away. Can you find out where they're hiding and help them float back to Mama Ghost? Big, bold, glossy pages with flaps big and small make this a charming picture book to read and share with 2 to 6-year-olds. It's ideal to help develop fine motor, counting and observational skills, as well as putting a positive and reassuring spin on a subject that might spook the youngest readers. Come Halloween time, preschoolers will be looking for smiley, friendly ghostlings in every unlikely nook and cranny. Mm. There's a Ghost in My House by Oliver Jeffers. This wonderfully evocative and interactive picture book is ideal for storytelling on a dark, wet autumn afternoon, especially, perhaps, at Halloween. Explore the haunted house with the little girl who lives there. Help her to find a ghost amongst the beautifully illustrated pages. And on every page, children will find awe and wonder. It's a great book to read as a family or in a classroom at the end of the day. Ooh. Gotcha by Clotilde Perrin. Fleeing a nasty hairball monster, a child hides in a series of fairy tale houses. The intrepid reader can try to find them in the most unlikely places by lifting flaps, opening doors, and peering carefully into each intricately illustrated cutaway. This oversized hardback is exquisitely presented in full colour with heavy stock card pages. With infectious language, feculent, pestilential, collywobblers, and a clever ending, Gotcha is an astonishingly good book. Children aged 5 to 8 will love it. Ooh. The Ghost of Goswater by Lucy Strange. A beautifully written and evocative mystery adventure set in the Lake District in 1889 finds 12-year-old Agatha seemingly robbed of her inheritance by a nasty cousin. She is determined to find the truth, and she finds help from a strange and spectral source on the chime of midnight. with lots of atmosphere in short and fast-moving chapters, this is a spooky class reader for Upper Key Stage 2. No Place for Monsters by Corey Merritt. When the children of suburban Cowslip Grove begin to disappear, Levi and Kat are the only people who remember them. And they're determined to find out why in this totally engrossing and deliciously creepy mystery, with a pervasive and lingering sensation of nearby evil. The trials and tribulations of middle-grade relationships, clashes with authority, and of course, saving the world, propel this engrossing and quirky read. The dialogue-driven story and part graphic novel combination will be a real winner with less enthusiastic readers. We dare you to read it around a dimly lit library this October. Shiver Point, It Came from the Woods by Gabriel Dillon. When Alex sees a meteorite streaking towards Howlmoor Forest, he imagines finding it and fame and fortune. But not only do four other kids get there before him, but what they find is the stuff of nightmares. Crisply written with short cliffhanger chapters, up-to-the-minute cultural references, and relatable characters, Shiver Point is bound to be a hit with Key Stage 2 children. Think Stranger Things meets the Goonies with super creepy killer slugs. Shiver Point is the ultimate chiller thriller series for 9-year-olds. Highly recommended. And if you have reading groups in Key Stage 2 for less confident readers, this one is perfect. Ivy Newt and the Time Thief by Derek Keelty and Magda Broll. When a strange house materialises over the bay, Ivy Newt is determined to uncover its secrets and break the spooky curse. But there's a race against time because the house will soon vanish at midnight. Fun and atmospheric illustrations by Magda Broll add to a lively mystery plot, and Ivy Newt is an ideal fantasy series to get less confident readers hooked on short chapter books. And here's one for Key Stage 3. Tales of the Damned, a collection of classic horror stories by Matt Ralphs, illustrated by Taylor Dolan. Matt Ralphs retells 8 classic gothic narratives and unsettling fables in this beautifully illustrated chunky hardback. The Mask of the Red Death, Dracula, The Monkey's Paw, Red Riding Hood, Frankenstein, Vasilisa the Daughter, Whistle and I'll Come to You, and Bluebeard are presented as accessible and atmospheric short stories. A spooktacular gift book, Tales of the Damned is perfect for 10 to 13-year-olds who like to be immersed in darkly chilling thrills and classic twisty tales. And for young adults, Channel Fear by Lisa Richardson. When a couple of YouTube ghost hunter influencers vanish into thin air, Iris and her friends are determined to find them. The toxic threesome finds the final filming spot and it reveals terrifying footage. Chilling, well-paced and convincing, it's a viral Blair Witch for teens precariously spanning the Zoomer and Alpha generations. We think Channel Fear will be a hit with socially aware and internet savvy Key Stage 4 readers. The Sister Who Ate Her Brothers and Other Gruesome Tales by Jen Campbell. This weighty hardback collection of dark fairy tales reimagines traditional stories with sparky modern twists. Featuring striking illustrations by Adam D'Souza, it will appeal to early secondary school readers who enjoy thrilling, unexpected and thought-provoking narratives. It's ideal for book club discussions and creative projects at Halloween time. And there's a full review of this book on our website. Ooh. Cursebreaker by Simon Tudhope, illustrated by Tom Knight. You find yourself alone and scared in a prison cell, locked up for something you didn't do. In this book, you are the story, and you decide your fate. With interactive gameplay, a game log, and combat at the roll of a dice, or a nifty QR code online roller, Cursebreaker is creepily irresistible. 10 to 14-year-old readers will lose themselves in the dark mysteries of Meyerwick for at least a weekend. In the monster-filled, tight prose, clever characterization, and mysterious pictures containing hidden clues. Highly recommended for less confident readers. If you'd like to get in touch, use the hashtag SRLPodcast on Twitter or drop us a line using the contact form or messaging button on our website schoolreadinglist.co.uk. And all the books lived happily ever after. The end.